the Approaching the Natural podcast with Sid Garza Hillman. Sid is the author of Approaching the Natural, a health manifesto, a certified nutritionist, health coach, and programs director at the Stanford Inns Wellness Center on the Mendocino coast of California.
Hello, small steppers. This is Sid Garza Hillman, and you have arrived at my podcast. Welcome, one and all. Glad you all are here. If this is your first time, you'll see what goes on here fairly quickly, but I urge you to go back and listen to old episodes when and ever you can. Some of my longtime listeners still go back and listen to old episodes just as a way of refreshing the small steps practice that they're in. Sometimes it's a way to get out of a social engagement. Sorry, I can't make that. I have to listen to the Approaching the Natural podcast. That happens quite a bit. And if this is what that does for you, I think that's fantastic. I am taking off my external shirt right now. It is warmer than I thought it was going to be in this studio, just giving you the play-by-play. I've got a little mushroom coffee here. I am settled in. I'm feeling pretty good right now, you guys. Productive weekend, busy weekend, and more on that in a minute. Okay? All right. I just kicked a can. This is the kick of the can episode. Just to hint to a subject and then just be like, yeah, I'll get to that. At some point, I'll get to that. Just hang with me. Anyway, welcome, you guys. This podcast is dedicated to helping people live better in the modern world, live happier, live healthier, how to negotiate a lot of craziness, a lot of marketing, a lot of advertising, how to make sense of things for yourself, how to take control over your own life, how to not put so much power into others, by way of, you know, letting them kind of dictate the decisions you make or the path that you're on to your own health and happiness. I'm a huge proponent of looking into new information, of going to experts in fields and learning, but there's a difference between that and saying, you just tell me what to do. I don't know what to do. I'll do whatever you tell me. That's a guru kind of thing going on. That ain't my bag. It ain't my bag. There's a lot of gurus out there, okay? And they're all flying private jets. I'm not saying that's a bad thing. That's fantastic. They should, as they should. But this is not what you get here, okay? I hope I dispense of some advice that helps you guys on your path, but this is a liberating kind of message here, which is I want to show you, and you may need my help in the short term to get you to this point, but you'll see that you have the power to do this yourself. And you'll just be like, hey, can you just help me see this for myself? Boom, okay? I mean, you know, Luke had the Force with him, but he needed Yoda. And I'm not even Yoda. I'm just saying, I'm kind of like, just, he's bald, I'm bald. Look, that's probably where the similarity ends. And also, our voices sound a lot alike. Okay. Okay. If you are just joining me again, SidGarzaHillman.com is how you find out about me. You can see my videos on that their website, but you can also go to YouTube where my YouTube channel exists. Sid Garza Hillman is the way you search on that. Also, the way you find me on Twitter and Facebook and Instagram, all Sid Garza Hillman. Pretty easy stuff, you guys. I'm not on a ton of different kinds of social media, but you know, the Twitter, Facebook, Instagram kind of thing. I'm not Pinteresting. Okay, I don't find that Pinteresting. I don't do Tumblr, for instance. And I really am not a good Facebook, Twittery kind of person anyway. So it's just whatever. But if you want to follow me, I'll throw down now and then. But my big fave in terms of just strict on social media kind of stuff is Strava. I urge you to get on there. Got a few new followers every week. This is the best thing ever. I follow you right back. That's the rule. again, it's kind of a social media, it's kind of a social network for athletes, what that is, but how we define athletes, how I define athletes, I'll put it that way, how I define an athlete, somebody who moves their body intentionally, somebody who goes, yeah, I'm going to just do 4 squats, get on Strava and post that baby, all right? You'll get a kudos from me because I think that's fantastic. I'm not even kidding. On SidGarzaHillman.com, you can put your website, you can put your, email address. Wow, it's just... You can put your email address in that little box in the upper right-hand corner and you'll get a free chapter of my book. You'll get notifications of when these podcasts launch, new blog posts, et cetera, et cetera. What else? I work at the Stanford Inn. I head up their wellness center and there's some retreats going on there. Fun, health and happiness themed retreats, a running retreat, all that kind of stuff, stanfordinn.com. Or you can always email me, podcast@sidgarzahillman.com. Things are rolling pretty well with the race. 135, as I mentioned last week, signups. 136 last week, but then somebody got injured. So they're out. What, we're at 135. Going really well. Just getting ready to do some ordering of things. T-shirts et al. What else do I have to say? Marshall, Texas, creeping up. Marshall, Texas is creeping up. There was a tweet about it today. That's April 1st through the 3rd. I am speaking, and this I know, because it's on the healthfest.com website. But I'm speaking April 2nd. That's a Saturday. Two talks that day. The morning I'm doing the children, healthy, raising healthy and happy kids. And in the afternoon, around noon, well, just noon, I'm doing a living the example talk. Sound familiar? Bet your ass. So I'm talking about, Okay. Edinburgh Veg Fest. I got the dates wrong last week, I think. Anyway, it's the 20th and 21st. I said they changed it to the 21st and 22nd, but I even got that wrong. August 20th, 21st. I don't have details on that other than that I'm speaking there, and you can go to veganfestival.co.uk to find out more information if you are over there in the United Kingdom. I'll be at the World Veg Fest in October. There's a few more irons in the fire. I'll announce them as I get to them, as you know. Fantastic. Got a new YouTube video in the works, so look out for that, you guys, okay? So I'm rolling with all these things. Going well. Going well. Two different people in my little town, separately, independently of one another, although they know each other, because pretty much everybody does. I walk in the post office, like, hey, Sid, how's it going? Hey, Robin. Which I really like. But two different people. This week, we're like, hey, can you help me? I want to do a podcast. And I, can you help me set it up? And I was like, no, absolutely not. This is proprietary. And I am one of only three people who do podcasts. And we're not ready to let anybody else in the club. In reality, what I said was absolutely. So I'm sort of fashioning myself as a podcast consultant. I was like, I'll take you through the rigmarole. But it's pretty involved if you've never done it before. I've, you know, sort of dialed it in after 125 episodes. But I thought that was kind of funny. They're like, hey, can I come over? So I'm just kind of showing them my setup and how that works. Pretty cool, right? More the better. It's the last subversive medium, in my opinion. Yeah, so far. What do I want to talk about this week? A few things. As I sip my mushroom coffee. I have dabbled in the world of tonic herbs. And by dabble, I mean I've done a ton of reading on it. And while I'm a certified nutritionist, but I'm not a certified herbalist. Like, I haven't done this. So just take this with a grain of salt, because I'm not recommending it to anybody. Just, you know, this in no way, you know, quantify, you know, whatever. I'm legalese. Good, great. That's how bad a lawyer I would have been. But I'm on the ashwagandha right now. On the ashwagandha, it's an Ayurvedic herb. And really good for stress. I've had really good luck with it. I've done some, I've done a bunch of reading on it, but it's a good athlete. We'll use it, an athlete. So I'll jump on it when I'll just put it this way, under stress. And I happen to be on it right now. And I'll do it for a short term, a few weeks, and I'll jump off of it for a little while. So just kind of throwing that out there, the tonic herb, not like directed, like it will fix your elbow, but more just overall body stress, more of adrenal. I'm jumping on the maca more, a little more these days. Why? Because I got a lot of stuff going on, okay? And I usually do, but this is my normal, got a lot of stuff going on, family and work. And then directing a race. And the race is heating up. It's, you know, it's not super far away at this point. It's a couple months away. I got a to-do list a mile long. I mean, just the little things that are involved in directing a race that I have never done before and are just and I'm like, oh yeah, that's right. I have to do this. And oh my God, that's, I should get that. It's kind of making my head explode. I mentioned last week that I'm very pleased to not be training for something right now, because that would just make me just not happy at all. And so anyway, I'm getting through it okay, but boy, I'm just mindful of the levels of stress in my life. So ideally more mindful over time so that I can manage or know that it needs to be managed when it does. And things like ashwagandha are help me. They're not a magic bullet like anything else, but it's one of the things that I do, like deep breathing, like light exercise, that keep my stress levels under wraps as much as possible. We all have little moments, though, don't we? Yes, we do. But for the most part, I'm handling it okay. I will jump on, you know, like I've told you guys before, medicinal mushrooms, especially if people around me are sick, you know, the people that I work with or whatever else. And I haven't been sick, knock on wood, over 2 years. So you can count the podcast episodes every week for 125 weeks. But I was thinking about Western medicine because I get this a lot in the classes I teach, and there's a retreat about to start at the inn. And there's sort of this underlying assumption that somehow I'm anti-Western medicine, that somehow I stand, you know, just like you either do it my way or their way. And if you're not with me, you're against me. And while I could lead a country on that platform, as a nutritionist, I am more of attuned to, I'm one of the tools, just like food is one of the things that can make us healthy and happy. Nutrition in general is a part of a picture. And the fact of the matter is the world that we live in is so out of balance and so, let's say it, shall we say it together, everybody? Nutty nut nut. If you said that out loud and you're in a meeting right now, my apologies. Put your boss on right now. They're listening to the podcast. Nutty nut nut is a thing we do. Okay, resume. All right. Because the world is so nutty nut nut, I think we need balance. We need to swing wide in some ways to have a balance to how nutty nut nut the world is. And here's what I mean. I've dialed in over time a really damn good diet. Like my food just every day, generally 95% of the time, is really good. I cheat. I have treats, but day to day, my MOT, if you're just joining me most of the time, is pretty darn good. I exercise 6 days a week. I mean, most weeks, 50 weeks out of the year, I exercise 6 days a week. Light exercise. I'm not beating my ass up. Once in a while, I'll do a little. I did a 16 miler 2 days ago with Sid. More on that in a minute. But see how I kicked that can down? And so, yeah, but in general, light exercise. Okay, so I've kind of dialed that in. But the fact of the matter is, because of just the way this world is, because I have a job that is super stressful sometimes, because I have a commute, because I'm around, you know, environmental pollutants, because I got to deal with people just in general, I could have heart disease and not know it right now. I could have cancer. I could have a heart attack. I don't know. I'm feeling good and I kind of judge, but I'm fatigued and I feel tired and I'm struggling to get enough sleep and I'm under stress. And the stress I'm under is much greater than the acute stress of wildlife. It's like you get stressed and you kind of recover. There's not a lot of recovery time. I've talked about this before. This isn't news to anybody who's been here before. But if you're just joining me, it's like all about recovery. And I'm not talking about ultra athletes or athletes who talk about recovery all the time, but the message there is the same as the recovery I'm talking about here. Athletes want to, they're dialed in, they're setting their sights on how do I best recover from today's workout so that I can train again as soon as possible. Well, the modern world is the same way for everybody, non-athletes, every human being in the modern world. We are, what we're striving to achieve, what we're really dying for literally is time to recover. We don't get that time because the day is filled with so many spikes of stress that we never get chance to fully recover before the next stress happens. And when we need that time to recover, that's when we've got to get to the next meeting. So we drink a bunch of caffeine or an energy drink to get us to that thing. We get home, and when we need to recover by a long, good night's sleep, we don't sleep well because we have other things to think about that wake us up at 3 a.m. I mean, I went for that 16-mile run. I had to get up at 5:45, you know, just to get up and get my banana shake made and whatever else I do. And then I get in the car and I met the group, which I'll get into in a second, you know, at 6:30. At 4:45, I woke up and I could not go back to sleep. So I couldn't even get to sleep to 5:40 because I woke up at 4:45 and started thinking about all the stuff I had to do after the run and the fact that I was just going to have to wake up in an hour and my brain is swirling around. Next thing I know, I've lost an additional hour in an already fairly short night's sleep. This is normal. This isn't abnormal for anybody. I mean, this is most people have nights where they just don't get a lot of sleep. That's so needed recovery time. That's what I need. That's what I needed. So back to Western medicine. there's things could happen. I love that Western medicine exists. I want to know that if I have a heart attack or if I get cancer or if I have diabetes or if I break a bone or if I have a stroke, that I've got a fighting chance at least being stabilized and maybe even get through it and get to the point that I can recover from that. I love that there's a mechanism in place. But what a small stepper does is says, glad that's there. Let's hope I don't need that. Let's hope I don't need that. Because the fact of the matter is, it's never a substitution for health and happiness. It doesn't deliver that thing. It's a fix, and it's an amazing fix. And if I get a bacterial infection tomorrow, guess what I'm doing? Going to get an antibiotic. But here's the thing to think about, you guys, and this is what I want you to understand. It's none of these so-called solutions are substitutes for feeding your body well, mind and body, feeding your mind well and feeding your body well, strengthening your machine, strengthening your being so that you don't need that level of assistance. When you strengthen your being by being a small stepper, when you enter your life that way, you are, in a sense, grounding yourself and making yourself not swing so wide on the stress spectrum. You're not so way over there so that you need something on the whole other side to balance that out when things go wrong. You're not, you know, eating junk food and never exercising, so your stress level is way, way over there so that you are set up more for a heart attack. And then you do have to swing completely wide. When you start to strengthen your body, when you start to focus on self-care, the big messages of small stepping, which is taking care of yourself, making sure you are reminded, because you're reminding yourself every day about how worth it you are to take care of, how worthy you are of this level of care. And when you do that, you creep back toward the center so that when something does go amiss, it's not brutal and, you know, needing an ambulance. It's, you know, a little bit of recovery time, let your body heal, get past it without this massive kind of undertaking to just restore normal. So the things like ashwagandha, the things like my mushroom coffee, but also the medicinal mushrooms I'll take, are the ways that I sort of keep a little bit closer to center. But again, I've always said, you cannot achieve perfect balance in the modern world. You just can't do it. We're not in a good balance with our environment in the modern world, and we can't achieve it. We can fake it, but we can't achieve it. We can look and dress like a hippie, but we're not at one with the world in the modern world because things aren't working for us as a species. We're failing, you guys, as a species. But on an individual level, we have great ability to regain some of that balance in our own personal lives. And then as we do, how that affects our families and friends is profound, okay? I will mention that there's more and more talk, and I've been saying this a while, so it's sort of hitting the mainstream now, but we are supposedly, and I can't but not believe this, entering a post-antibiotic world whereby the bacterial infections are becoming so strong that we're running out of antibiotics to fight some of these things. This already exists. This is a really tough thing, and we've got that viral scare that's going around the world right now. These are things not to freak you out and go, oh my God, run for the bunker, but at the same time, we're just going to have to start thinking about these things in a way, and I think I have the prescription of the really effective way to think about these things so that we're not freaked out, but at the same time, we have a certain awareness that it's very, very important and maybe more relevant than ever before of taking care of we need to take care of ourselves more than ever before because we're kind of on the downslide of this. Like I think it's going to turn around. I think our health is really going to turn around by the end of 2016. It's just not. It's not looking that way. So how do we get on top of that? We small step. I mean, how do we get on top of that? We freaking become small steppers. You guys, that's why you're here. Jiminy Christmas. Good. Ooh. Okay. So this weekend, had to do a lot of work this weekend. I was just dreading it all week, and I just realized how last week I was talking about how, you know, everybody has free time. Like everybody has free time, you know, even the busiest of people. And I was just, again, noticing like all week, I was like, oh, this weekend is gonna suck because I had to work and not even like my nutrition stuff, like other stuff. You'll see in the video I'm about to post what I'm talking about. And just dreading it. And then realized how many minutes of just dread were wasted that I could have used better. Good to know. That wasn't me, you guys. The me, not me game of that, not me. I'm not somebody who wastes a bunch of time leading up to a weekend dreading. It's not me. Now, did I do that? Yes, I did. But am I clear that that is not me, something, not something I value, not how I define myself? Yeah, clear about that too. So that next time that rolls around, I have an arsenal of experience to say, yeah, that happened last time. I'm going to make efforts now to intentionally not do that. I'm going to make efforts to journal a little bit more when I have things like that. Remind myself that that was a waste of colossal waste of time that I could have way better spent with my family or doing work that I love or whatever leading up. And guess what? It wasn't as bad as I thought it was going to be. It didn't take as much time as I thought it would. You know, all this buildup. It's always this massive buildup of like, this is going to be this and this is, we have all these expectations. Rare is it that those expectations meet the reality. Rare is it that we walk in and go, that was exactly what I thought it was going to be to the letter. Okay. So just this dread and just a colossal waste of time. Could have probably done a whole nother podcast in the time I spent just every moment of free time remembering, oh God, I got that this weekend. I got to go for my run. And as soon as I get back from my run, I got to work. Just why? Just whoop-de-doo. Had the garage open. It was sunny outside. Could have been worse. My kids were hanging around. They're all outside playing, running around. It could have been a lot worse, you guys. Okay? Good. All right. Little correction. I got schooled. On occasion, and you guys know that I think I'm perfect. I mean, you know, I love perfection and I love the concept of failure. I think you guys should not want to ever fail. I think you should put a bunch of pressure on yourself to never fail. And I think you should put a bunch of pressure on yourself to be perfect at all times. That's the way that you can be happy, is to put a ton of pressure on yourself and to really feel that pressure in your gut. I mean, you just gotta, it's almost gotta be sort of like an ulcer feeling. If you've got that, then you're doing it great, you guys. Good job. More pressure, the better is my motto. But I got schooled by Bree, who I also went for a run with. Anyway, banana tag, look, it wasn't made up at my kid's school. Now, I don't know if this is like a rivalry between the two little schools and she's like lighting the fire. We're going to have to get into it a little bit. That's okay. I'm ready for that fight. But it's a very new game. It's a new freaking game. I was talking about the creativity of kids and the making up of games. I thought that it was created because it sounds so freaking weird that I figured it was made up by just a bunch of kids at my kid's school, because it doesn't sound like a real game. It sounds like just somebody was like, how about we just make some random rules and just hope the kids don't kill each other? But I Googled it and there's like a camp website. I'm not even kidding. I had to do this because I was like, where did it come from? And I'm telling you, it's not exactly everywhere, but there's a camp website that alludes to it. Okay, banana tag. Google it. No, really, honestly, guys, you have better things to do. Really? So did I. But on that note, went for a run on Saturday. Finally, remember last time I got, 2 weeks ago, I got lost, like to the point that I had to hitchhike? Well, we had a mission, Sid and I, my running partner, that we were not going to get lost. I had a map. My buddy Rick Hemmings, who helped me map out my my race. I told him I was going to do it. And I said, I think I knew I took the wrong turn. He goes, I'll just give me the end of the day. So I said, okay, this is Friday. So Friday he comes back up. He works at the inn too. He manages the canoe bike thing. And he comes up and he's got me a freaking two-sided map, full written directions. Like just, okay, you go here, then you turn left here and you're going to see this thing and walk down, really detailed. And man, was that a lifesaver. And as Bree said, you really aren't good at directions. I was like, yeah, no, it's not a joke. No, I'm not kidding around here. It's not like I'm being like, you know, self-effacing. You know, like I'm not, you know, oh, I'm not good at that, but I really think I am. I don't do directions. I just don't. I don't know why. And I have no time to find out. So we went as a group, which was super fun. So it was Sid and I and Bree and my friend Dan and his wife Sherry. And they're new to the whole long running kind of game and they're doing great. And Bree's never run freaking more than like 6 miles ever in her life as of 6 months ago. And now she's kicking a 16 miler. Unbelievable. And it was super fun. And turns out, again, this all this lead up, the fact that she's named after a cheese turned out to not be that big of a deal. I mean, the things you learn about yourself in these, you put yourself out there. All of a sudden, I was like, not a big deal. Not a big deal. But she's one of those natural athletes. Right? Just no problem. She's just 16. She's got four kids. One of them's like a baby that she just had. And she's kicking a 16 miler. I'm like, wow, unbelievable. Didn't get lost. Didn't get lost, finished the last 16 of the race. Man, that was worth the wait and worth having a hitchhike 2 weeks ago, because I think that is the most beautiful part of the entire race that I had never done. And man, I was running through some forest there with sunshine coming through. Good night, Johnny. It was a good one. 3.5 hours. Boom. And felt really good. And I thought, oh man, I'm going to be sore. And I wasn't. Woke up today, full great recovery. Now, just to kind of put the nail in the coffin about how happy I am that I'm not training for an ultra, Sid was like, okay, well, tomorrow I'm going to do a 10 if you guys want to join me. And I was like, hey, you know what? I'm not going to do that at all. And instead going to sleep in and have an espresso in my bed. But you can. Go do that 10. Have fun with that. Okay. Should we get into some more business here? Are you guys ready to get into some? Okay. One of the things I was going to talk about is many a moon ago, I did a, I think I read a quote. It's been attributed to Goethe, but it's by somebody else, and I literally should have prepped this a ton better, but it doesn't really matter. The idea of, I'm not going to even quote it because that would just be stupid, but the idea is that when you begin something is when the magic happens. When you embark upon anything, the sort of the sky opens and the kind of magic happens. And you know that I'm really sensitive about, you know, magic, man, it's all good. Just put just the secret. It's the secret, man. Shh, it's the secret. The magic that I believe this to be is the same thing when you go, you know, I really want that red sweater. I love that damn red sweater. And as soon as you start thinking how much you want that red sweater, all of a sudden you start seeing red sweaters everywhere. It's because that's your point of focus. That you've put that thing on your radar. But what happens in the small step arena is a very similar type of phenomenon where, and the beautiful thing about the small steps is, of course, it's multifaceted. You're not like the red sweater and all you're thinking of is a red sweater. You're stepping into lots of different places in your life. But as you do, each of those places opens up this kind of thing where you notice this more in the world. The magic part of that, whether you call it magic or not, but I've seen it so many times that it's just sort of like, that's what happens, in my opinion, in my experience even. But the point is if, let's say you don't like your job, and I've talked about this a while because there was a guy who emailed about, you know, sort of how to handle that, so I've been revisiting a little bit, but if you don't like your job and you want to do something else, and you're like, I really hate my job and I feel trapped, et cetera, but I'm a small stepper. And I learned from Sid that if I just do something, you know, remember last week? Yeah, but I'm doing something about it. It's like, you hate your job? Yeah, but I'm doing something about it. Again, the pressure is, well, I don't think I'm doing enough. I don't know. Do more then, right? I mean, the small step is, it's not, I'm not saying that objectively do more than you're doing. I'm saying if you don't think you're doing enough and think you can, throw a step in there that's a little bit more. Worst case is it's too much and you're not doing the step itself because it's too much, and then back down. That's the practice of this. However, the point that I'm making is, if in the world of the job, let's just say for this example, you want a new job. You're like, I hate my job, but I'm going to do something about it. So I'm going to spend 5 minutes a week or 10 minutes a week researching a new job, a new trade, a new class. And let's say you find a class and you go, okay, there's a class on management. I don't like the job I'm doing because it's a factory job and I don't really like that. I really fashioned myself a manager, but there's no reason why somebody would hire me because I've never had any manager experience. Well, I'm a small stepper, so I'm going to spend 10 minutes a week. All of a sudden, boom, I find an online course in management and it's online, so I can do it on my own. So I can spend 20 minutes a day at night when I get home, just 10, 20 minutes, and I'm just take this course, no hurry, because I'm doing more than I was. So I do a little online course, and then I get a certification in some sort of management, okay? When you dive in on that level, when you start to do things when you start to actually do something, remember how I said knowledge is like a very small percentage of my practice, but it's almost all about implementation. I want you guys to know things, but it's implementation. I want you to know, I want to be a manager and I could look up a class, but then if you don't actually take it, you just wasted an idea. So you dive in because you can make it so small that you go, look, I can do 10 minutes a week of a class. At least I'll do it enough to know if it's something of interest to me. How amazing is that knowledge? You start the process, you realize, you know what? Turns out I don't really want to manage at all. I don't like that at all. I'm actually, my job's cool. Let me find something else to do when I'm not at work that makes me happier. This is the magic. And but on that more like noticing things, let's say you start that management course, this happens a lot where you all of a sudden you'll meet somebody and you'll get into a discussion and they'll say, what are you doing? And you go, well, I'm also taking a management course. Oh, I'm doing that. And I know this guy over there who, I know this girl, she's got a thing and they're looking for, things open up. I mean, that's how it happens, because you've put yourself out there and you got this on your radar, and the way that you relate to the world now is with this person who has this added thing about them that now you're, when you talk to people, that comes out that way. And the magic happens that all of a sudden you go, I can't believe it. I met somebody and they know somebody who's actually looking for a manager. I can't believe my luck. And it's like, well, yeah, okay, maybe it's luck, but also maybe it's that you're putting your ass out there for the first time in your life. And you're doing something about your life in a real, real way. And maybe that doing that is drawing you to people that you wouldn't have been drawn to before, because it's partly now who you are now. This is the magic I'm talking about. It's sort of like, you know, the red sweater. Now all of a sudden I see red sweaters. Well, they were always there. You just didn't notice them. So every step that you take in your life makes you more aware of things in the world that are applicable to you and your life. You think new things. Oh, I always come back to it. Like, I mean, I'm directing an ultra marathon. A year and a half ago, didn't even know what an ultra marathon was, pretty much. I kind of knew who Scott Jurek was, but I didn't really. But then all of a sudden, I kind of, well, just give it a shot. Now I'm directing. I may hate it. This may be the worst thing ever, and it may be an absolute failure, and people are going to be super mad at me, and they'll be like, that was a waste of my time. I don't like you. You're bald. And I'll be like, look, you just crossed the line. That's not appropriate, whether it's true or not. And I may hate it, and I may never do it again, but I'll never look back and go, I wonder what that would have been like, right? Okay. And in doing this, by the way, I've met some amazing people. I have people coming up to volunteer that volunteered to volunteer. They call me, there's one guy in Healdsburg calls me, Skip Brand, owns the Healdsburg Running Company. He's like, hey, whatever you need, man, I'm going to bring up a bunch of people to help volunteer. Swear to God, I just for no reason, just super cool. And then I just go, well, how can I help you? Because that's just excellent. So I'm meeting like all these new people that are in this kind of thing, and they know all these things. And it's very cool. It's very cool. It's all positive. It's the Strava of the world. How is Strava not sponsoring me? Figure that one out. I've never asked. Okay. Where am I at now? Where am I at? Quick mention, dial back day, still going well. I'd like to give you guys updates on that. You know how that is. Integrated exercise, I just upped it on Friday for the first time in about 3 weeks. I'm up to 23 push-ups, 23 squats. Got a Strava, back on Strava, got a Strava comment, and the guy's like, because I post my integrated exercise. So I'll be like, integrated exercise 154/154, which is 22 push-ups, 22 squats, 7 times a day. I do it on the hour about, that never quite works out that way, but 7 times scattered throughout the day. 7 times 22, boom, 154. But now on Friday, 23, so I'm up to 161. I'm doing 161 push-ups many days a week. Not every day, because I'm doing it every other day now because I do my pull-ups, but I'm on the days I do it, 161. I started with 30 total, and I'm up to 161. And it's been no stress. Like, just I add one now and then. But I got a Strava comment. He's like, what the heck's 154? What does that mean? And I explained what that is. And I pointed him to my YouTube video. I said, if you want to check this out, go check it out. And he wrote back. He goes, I love that. I'm gonna do that. So he did it. He's freaking integrating because it's so cool. For me, it was only this fact. I was like, I really would love to incorporate some strength training, but frankly, I ain't giving up my running because I love my running in the morning. It serves a way bigger purpose than the running itself. Always has. Totally mental comparatively to you know, physical. But man, I'd like to incorporate some strength training, but I just don't want to go to a gym and blah, blah, blah. And I don't want to do 30 minutes at when, because I go for a run in the morning. And that's when I thought, what if I just do one thing? Because I'm a small stepper. And so I literally sat down. I was like, how can I make this happen? Well, if I do 5 push-ups every hour for 6 hours, that's what I started with. What's that like? And it took off from there. see you guys, just takes off from there. You pop in, all of a sudden things open up and new things happen, and you get to be a person who is going, I'm open to stuff and I'm looking for stuff. I'm open to new stuff and I'm looking for cool stuff. And you're living your life in a very different way, and sort of an adventure. I've talked to this before, like it's an adventuresome way to live. It's an adventurous way to live. It's a curiosity, it's a creativity, and it's very cool. And when you have those moments, because nobody's there all the time, it's the lifeblood. It's the stuff that gives you a kick in the ass and makes you go like, that's awesome. How fun is that? I'm doing this thing I've never done before. Even these people who ask me about the podcast, like it kind of took me back, because I remember that very first podcast in, 2013, September, and just like going downstairs to my, saying to my wife, like, I'm going to go do this. And it was just this weird thing of like, I had done all the reading on it and watched the videos and I knew how to do it. And then it was like, okay, I'm pulling the trigger on implementing this thing. I'm actually going to do this thing. And she's like, all right, well, good luck. You know, it was like, I didn't know what it was going to turn out to be. I was just going to put my ass out there and just whatever. Now, 125 episodes later, I'm still doing it every week on the money. So I just remember that as those people came over yesterday to, I just showed them kind of my setup and how to do it. And it's like, this is how it was. And I've explained the things in such simple terms in the way that I was explained to, because it was such a foreign medium to me. And it is to them too. Like, they listen to them, but they don't know what it takes. They don't know what it's involved. They don't know how to, the mechanics of it. It's very cool. It's very cool. Okay. Are you guys ready? Are you guys ready to get into this week's episode? You are? Oh, fantastic. Good. Because I'm not. No, I am. This week's title, Born Identity. The Born Identity. But if you look at the spelling, boom, pun city. Born, there's no U in born. There's no E in born. If you are like me, you might love the Born Identity trilogy. Now, I know they did a fourth one. I spit on that one. It's not, Matt Damon's not in it. There's no reason to, they pushed it. They said, we can do a fourth and it was crap. It was crap. Don't do it. It's like the remake. It's the Born Identity's version of remaking The Karate Kid. Just an absolute crime against humanity. But the Born trilogy, fantastic. I'm like, honey, don't you want to go out of town this weekend? That's what I do every time I'm kind of, enough time has passed that I can then watch that trilogy again. She's like, wow, vacation. I'm like, you deserve it, babe. Love ya. Anyway, okay, so Born Identity. What am I talking about this week? I'm talking about a few things to do with the refashioning of ourselves via the small steps that I talk about every week. And that it's a complicated phenomenon when you take on your life. And I've talked about this before, where if you do many of the things that are laid out for us in the modern world that supposedly, quote unquote, help us become healthy and happier, usually what they're doing is helping us with a before and after picture. You know, this was me, and now I've got the flat stomach and the six-pack debt that then I can wear a bikini for the fruit, this kind of crap. But in the actual trek, in the real thinking about your life trek, there's a crisis of identity that can occur on a very subtle level. It's not, boot camp in the army where somebody kind of tears you down and rebuilds you, and the usefulness of that in that context, I'm not even going to speak to. I'm just saying it's not like that in this regard. You know that I talk about all the time that the small steps, the size of your small steps are fashioned such that the stress associated with a new behavior is not inordinate. It's not a huge amount of stress. Why? Because you're the one in charge of how big that step's going to be. I just have to convince you that this whole process actually takes a long time and doesn't take 21 days. But the diet that you supposedly is going to give you what you are looking for, which is increased health and happiness in the costume of a scale weight, doesn't shift your identity, because you're not thinking about your life. You're thinking about the diet. You're thinking about a scale weight. You're not attached to the outcome in terms of how it relates to you living completely different than you were. That's a big thing. And as much as you guys know that I love lists, because you know I love lists, I love Franz list, I love other lists. Actually, I was going to mention this before. It's funny. I was going to mention to-do lists because I was reading this thing today, this one email list thing that I subscribe to. And this guy's like, do you know that most to-do lists don't have anything on them that are actually there to support your actual goals? Like, in other words, we fill ourselves with to-do lists, but the things on them are pretty mundane. They're like laundry, go shopping, and they're not about, you know, the things that we could do to actually better our lives. And he's right. But at the same time, if you're a small stepper, look at your steps list right now. That's a to-do list. My small steps list is a to-do list. The small steps lists that I help my clients craft is a to-do list. But I think we can agree it's of a completely different nature than, you know, I got to go pick up the kids from school at 3. The small steps list is like it's like a to-do list on which every step on that list is 100% essential. Not to get through your day and to have clean clothes in your drawer tomorrow, but to get through your life. And that's the small steps to-do list. It's a different animal altogether, but it's a to-do list. I'll be clear about that. The things on it, take a deep breath. That's a to-do list. But it's an intentional, fashioned, non-logistics, non-practical, non-get-by-day-to-day list. It's like the Uber list. It's like your life's to-do list. But it's every day. It's not even your I got a 5-year plan. I'm going to buy a yacht, and then I'm going to travel the world. I got my 5 years laid out. And then you just kind of put that on your desk, and you flip on, you know, the Born Identity Trilogy. And then next thing you know, you're just, you know, eating a burrito, and there's a lot of stuff that goes on. Okay. So back to the list thing. So that's the kind of to-do, just because I've heard in the world many a time, like, oh, you know, to-do lists and people who have to-do lists or blah, 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 and people. Okay, fine. You go on autopilot without writing something down and without being conscious of the things that you want to include in your life. You do that. See how successful you are long term. Again, you might do something short term, but percentages and the statistics of this say that there is a very small chance that you're going to incorporate true lifestyle change if you just give things a shot now and then. If you just put your blinders on and go into the world and just sort of wade around and go to work and everything else, all of a sudden you look down and go, holy crap, there was 2016. It's gone. Where did that go? But small steppers go, yeah, starting day one, yeah, I was taking deep breaths on January 1st, and then I was taking 10 of those by mid-January, and then I started squats every hour, and all of a sudden November rolls around, and I'm running 6 miles a day and meditating 30 minutes a day and got a new job because I started looking into that, and a bunch of stuff opened up, and all of a sudden I'm eating big freaking salads 4 days a week. I mean, these are the things that change because we're taking advantage of that time. We're not saying, my big plan is to lose 100 pounds. Okay, but that's just massive. Yeah, and it's a plan. Okay, great. And that may be your goal. But the power of this process is, okay, but starting today, what are you going to do about it? Well, today, I'm just going to put one slice of cucumber on my plate because I know this is a long-term process. So, but today, I'm going to actually get started on this thing. That's amazing. But back to the lists. So as much as I love lists, and you can go to all these websites and they go top 10 superbirds, and I always poke fun. But what I wanted to do was craft you guys a list. This is the top 6 tips, Sid's top 6 tip. I added the Sid's in there because I like talking to myself about myself in the third person. Sid's top six tips for healthy living, not for saying things, because I did not get that out nearly as eloquently as I had hoped. Sid's top 6 tips for healthy living. Do you guys have your pen out? Do you have your pen? You know, on your treadmill, there's that little ledge that you can put like a magazine. So here, write that. Do me a favor. If you have a pen on you, write it in the margin of the men's journal that you're reading, because you're definitely reading men's journal, because nobody reads that except for on treadmill or Vogue, depending on what you're into. Either Vogue or men's health journal. Boom. Okay. Write this down. 6 top tips for healthy living. Number 1, ask 2, the. 3, question. 4, who. 5, M. 6, I. Ask the question, who am I? That is the start and end of the small steps process. It is the beginning, and essentially the thing that feeds the entire process is in those 6 words. Ask the question, who am I? Without a clear understanding, and you might say, I don't know who I am. I just, you know, I have my parents, I had a hard childhood, and I find myself turning into my parents, and I see all these behaviors, and I just don't know who I am. And I'll tell you what, I don't really know you. I mean, you seem like you're a nice person, but I don't really know you. We've sort of traded, you know, we chat at the water cooler. But I'll bet you $1,000, and not literally, because I can't know, that you probably do know who you are, but you've never asked the question. You've never actually asked. You might walk around saying, I don't know who I am. I really need some time. Eventually, I'd like to take about a month off and go find myself. I'd like to have enough time where I could really think about my life. You've never asked the question. Or maybe you have, but not enough. Or maybe you have, but not often enough. But when you ask that question, who am I? You have a clear understanding of what? Where the hell you're going with this whole process. This is the born identity. This is the new identity born from this process of you sitting or standing, whatever position you want, but asking that question, who am I? But actually, guess what? Having an answer, because you find out that it doesn't matter what you've been doing. It doesn't matter what you've been doing up until the point that you asked that question. It doesn't matter. You don't go to last Wednesday to find out who you are. You go to your brain now to say, who am I? What do I stand for? How do I learn to actually stand for it? That's the small stepper. That's where the small steps enters, you learning how to actually incorporate those things. But the values have to be set in stone, or at least established. I am a person who eats healthy food most of the time. I am a person who exercises most days. I am a person who takes deep breaths throughout the day. I'm a person who doesn't let stupid office politics get me down. I'm not a person who feels trapped. I'm a person who is never, never a victim. I'm a person who is always trying to fix a situation and to try to make myself as happy as possible. I spend this much time with my family and friends. I value that time. I'm present in those moments. I steal moments for myself when I can. When I come home at the end of the day, I'm not irritable. I walk in the door and I see my spouse, my partner, my kids, and I'm happy to see them. I'm there no matter what happens to me at work. You can say all those things and mean all those things if literally 100% of those things weren't true yesterday. Because it doesn't really, again, I can't stress this enough. This is not a BS game. This is not, if I just say it, then it's true. I'm not saying you are that person by saying you're that person in terms of how you act in the world. I'm saying you are that person when you say that in terms of what you stand for, what you value. That's a fact. That's what you value, if you're being honest with yourself, that is. If you say, I eat healthy food most of the time, and you never eat healthy food, it doesn't magically mean that you are going to start eating healthy food tomorrow, but it means that that's a value to you. If you say, I'm at a healthy weight, even though you're extremely overweight or extremely underweight, and you say, I'm at a healthy weight, it may not be true in the world, but it's true for you because it's what you stand for, and then you've got your place to get to. Then you've got this thing where it's on your radar. That's what I am. Now all of a sudden, magically, you're drawn to other healthy people because you identify yourself as a healthy person, even though maybe you don't look like it. I don't know. But you'll understand how much less that matters when you dive in on this process. What happens, though, is that we have this kind of vague idea. We have this sort of vague, like, I want to be thin, or I want a six pack, or, you know, I want to be happy. I want a better job. I want to get in shape. I should eat better. We have these kind of vague things. But what's happening is we're not anchored down in we're not aware of who we truly are. And so we have nothing concrete to which to go. And so what happens is we're living like anchor-free existence. And so of course we're going to get swept up in the next quick fix that comes our way, because we have this kind of cloudy idea of what we may be, kind of that we're not really that happy, and we kind of want to not live the way that we've been living, and things aren't quite working for us. And so if we're just kind of in that space, then yeah, the diet that's presented to us on an infomercial is going to look damn good, because it's like, oh, might as well do that. That looks like, those people look like I think I want to look. They have smiles on their faces. That's kind of cool. And so the most effective marketing that you're subject to in that, when you're in that place, is going to be the one that you buy into. It's going to be like, okay, well, that thing seems amazing. And you don't have an anchor and a grounding to say, you know what, it seems too good to be true. It probably is. And furthermore, it's not really about a six-pack stomach for me. I think it's actually a deeper issue, or not. Or it may be a six-pack stomach. There's no judgment about that. I'm just saying, you know if it works or not. But there's a whole nother world about born identity that I want to talk about too. And this one's a little touchy. And that is that as much as we want to change, I think for many of us, and I think most of us, I would venture to say, there is a certain comfort in the knowing of how we've been, not who we... It's almost less comfortable. In fact, not almost. I would say in most cases, it's less comfortable for us to actually say, who am I? Rather than default to say, this is what I've always done. I just overeat. It's in my genes. I'm genetically overweight. It's just, there's nothing I can do. It's a congenital problem that I have. It's out of my hands. There's a comfort there. I've always been heavy. I have heart disease in my family. My cholesterol levels are high. It's in my family. By the way, you know that most things that are supposedly genetic are dispositions. And about 1% to 3% of diseases are truly genetic. Most things are environmental. Most things are things that we can at least have a hand in, for crying out loud. We're so ready to give that up. Just, yes, nothing I can do. The doctor said he or she had never seen it. We love that. And I think that we love that because it gives us this momentary feeling of this kind of like comfortable. The idea of changing who we have been is a weird thing for us. It puts us in this uncomfortable place. By the way, that's why I ask people and work with people to ease their way in on this process. That the asking the question of who am I doesn't need an answer in its entirety right in that moment. But I think the practice of asking the question is first and foremost. But we get used to and very comfortable. The irony, of course, is that we're usually not comfortable really deep down. But we get used to this comfort of like, this I know. I know that I overeat. I know that I binge eat. I know that I don't exercise. I know I should. But I know that that's just what I do. And the difficulty that arises from beginning the small step process is inevitably lots of small steps that go on your list right away presents a conflict for you, or at least an awareness of a conflict for you between how you've been and who you truly are when you say, who am I? And here's what I mean by that. If you say, I am a person who eats healthy food most days, but you just have never been that person, right? You were raised on fried chicken and blah, 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 and just that's just what you've done, and just you're just there. But you say, I'm a person who eats healthy food all the time. So to which I would say, that's really who you are. You value somebody who takes care of themselves like that. Cool. Yeah, you haven't done it yet, but that's who you are. So that's where you small step into. But that when you make your small step, and let's say you say, okay, well, because I'm a small stepper, I'm going to ease my way in to become closer to that person that I am, truly deep down, somebody who eats healthy food most days. I'm going to start with one stalk of celery on my plate. the stock of celery that goes on your plate that day for dinner is just a wrapped up conflict right there on your plate, because it's at once a step to get you closer to who you truly are, but it's also a spotlight on the conflict that exists right then between that person and how you've been. That celery is on a plate with the other food that you've been eating that is in conflict. And it makes you more aware. Wow, yeah, I have not been that person. Oh my gosh, I really haven't been that person. There's like an instantaneous conflict. So this whole process is wrapped up in this idea of first and foremost asking the question, answering it in ways and limited ways that make you feel okay in the just little bits of information that I talked about a couple episodes ago, of deep compartmentalizing, of things come out of the compartmental places that you've set them in your brain to not have to think about these things. They come out in little bitty ways, but as they do, simultaneously, you're aware of there's a conflict between this information and how you've been living. Fine, you fix the situation. Yes, but I'm doing something about it. And you remember that as a small stepper. Yeah. I'm doing something about it though. And it's just this thing of this weird thing that's like, we don't want to keep living the way we've been living in some ways, not in all ways. I mean, none of us are like super unhappy with every parts of our lives, but let's just for the sake of argument in the health and health realm. Okay, fine. And we're very unhappy with the way we're living. And we're very unhappy with the way our bodies look. And we're very unhappy with how we feel. But there's a certain comfort there. We get that. We know that. That's an identity we are aware of. We don't know what's it going to be like if I'm not like this. I've never been a person who has in the world, even though I value eating healthy food most days, I've never been that person. I don't even know how to be that person. Enter, by the way, Arsenal of Experience. By doing little steps, you start to understand what that is like over time. And of that practice, you forge and create a new, you are born of a new identity where you are calling the shots, where you are creating yourself, where you are not all at once-ing it, you're not all at once-ing it so that it's just totally uncomfortable and so weird and you're like, this isn't me at all, because guess what, guys? It isn't you yet. Diets fake that thing, but you didn't get there in a time that is appropriate to you to actually make it really you. You're kind of doing the diet that's external to you, but you didn't get there in some organic way that you, by the time you're eating that way, you're just like, oh yeah, I guess, yeah, oh wow, it's been a year and a half, I don't really think about it anymore, I guess I did transition that way. Sort of like, I do 23 push-ups and 23 squats 7 times a day. I physically could not have done that 5-6 months ago, but I don't really think about it day to day because I've eased my way in such increments. I mean, one by one, I added one every few weeks. I mean, this has not been a meteoric rise of fitness, but it's as much as I can do because I've just been doing it like that. Like I said last week, small steppers, we go pedal the metal. It's just that we do that in all areas, so no one area looks this like massive. God, Sid went from no push-ups to 1,000 push-ups a day in a week. One of the other things I wanted to draw your attention to is that in this, and I've seen this before with clients and also people, this is just this weird thing, but you have to understand that when you take on your life as a small stepper, when you engage in your life in this way, when you start to forge a new identity, when you start to let go of the things you've been doing in exchange for the things that define you, this can create conflict with the people in your lives as well that are, by the way, knowing what they know about you is part of their comfort too. We sort of know even the dysfunctional relationships, right? But we get those. We understand the people that are in our lives in sort of the ways that we do. And if somebody in our lives makes a stark change in their lives, that kind of freaks us out too. So there's that whole other wrapped up thing of, I've actually seen clients start to live healthier, start to make changes in their lives, and it like freaks their family members out. They start to get worried about it. Some family members like make an effort to derail their progress. I've literally seen that, you guys. I've seen that. People trying to live better, trying to take control of their own lives, and family members going, oh, come on, here, it's not going to hurt you. Just eat that. Here, just eat that. And they don't want it. They don't want it. Why? Because it's not them. Talk about born identity. It's like what we do threatens their world because we're part of their world and we're part of what makes sense to them. And when we make that change, that shakes up their world, and maybe they're not ready for that. They're not in that process. These are all the things that come up. And it's like you ask yourself, if I live differently now, if you were the person that you truly are, all of a sudden, just boom, tomorrow, you're this person. Would you have the same friends? Would you have the same relationships? If all of a sudden you're living, a much different existence, it would probably shake up most of the things in your world. That's why, again, you guys, I can't stress enough, sound like a broken record. This transition takes so much time in a good way, that's the best part about it, that it's so subtle that it doesn't freak anybody out. But more importantly, because that's not really your problem, it doesn't freak you out. And you're not left having given up all these things and then going, well, who the hell am I? Because you never asked the question. You're never left that way. You're never stranded in the small steps process. Why? Because first and foremost, every day you're totally aware. I always say, keep your eye on the ball. You're always aware of the ball. You're always aware of who you truly are, because that's what fuels every step that goes on your steps list, is that knowledge of who you are, what you value, what you stand for. How are you going to stand for anything if you don't know what you stand for already? So you make these massive changes, and no wonder we don't stick to them, because we don't know what the hell to do once that scale gets down to the weight that we try. We want to lose 30 pounds. We don't know what the hell to do when we lose the 30 pounds, because we haven't born a new identity. Out of that, we focused on the scale. We got 30 pounds down, and then we go, "What? But I'm still this. What does this person do now that the diet's over? What would this person do?" Your relationship with your family and friends changes as you change, but your relationship with yourself changes as you change. And if you make that change too abrupt, your relationship with yourself will be debilitated. Or can be, and you jump back to the old behaviors because that's what you know. But instead, if you're very clear, sure about how you've been living, because that feeds, what you're in conflict about or what you want to change, fine. But more importantly, you're aware of who you are. You play the me, not me game. You go, well, that wasn't me and that was me. And you're over time, totally crystal clear. That wasn't me, that wasn't me, that was me, that was me. All of a sudden, you're understanding yourself in ways that you never did before. You've asked the right questions. You're creating this new identity in subtle, easy ways, in very, very non-violent, non-disruptive ways. And all of a sudden, you are a new person, but it's not really that big of a deal because it just didn't happen overnight like that. And there's virtually no chance at that point of you reverting to the old you, because you really aren't that person anymore. For real. You're not pretending because you lost 30 pounds on a scale during a diet in 21 days. You really are a new person. Or, like I've said, you really are the person you've always been, but you liberated yourself from the old habits. It's amazing stuff. But I'm going to leave you with a quote. And it's by a guy named Ram Dass. And this is the quote. Suffering is the... Boy, that's heavy. Here we go. Suffering is the sandpaper of our life. It does its work of shaping us. Suffering is part of our training program for becoming wise. And I've talked about suffering before in this podcast many times, and I've talked about hard work. And I don't advocate that people put themselves in just massive amounts of suffering, but I have talked about intentional struggle. I've talked about putting ourselves in little teeny bits of discomfort by way of, again, learning who we are and what we're made of, and building this arsenal of experience from which we can draw as we progress down the line further and further. Oh yeah, I know what that feels like. I'm okay doing this thing now. I know in general what it feels like to do something I've never done before because I small stepped it. So I know this thing, I've never done this thing exactly, but I've done something I've never done before. I know what that's like. So I'll do this totally new thing too, like direct a race. Never directed a race before, but I've done things that are out of my comfort realm. So I kind of know. I have enough confidence to know that, there's worst case scenarios there, but it's not going to, I'm pretty confident that it's not going to go totally, hell in the handbasket. But I like the part of that quote, which is that the suffering is the sandpaper. It's shaping, it's forming, it's taking the rough off the edges. It's moving us to a more balanced, a more peaceful, a more strong. I talk about how this process builds confidence and self-esteem and strength, personal strength. I talk about how this power is in you already, but if you don't ask the right questions, you don't know that, and you never will, because you're going to rely on all the things that you've been doing are going to feed your day-to-day. And all this strength that's inside you is just never going to be tapped. It's just going to sit there dormant, because you're going to be staying in the comfort zone of what you've known. And so you sort of get that. I know it's not me, but I don't really want to think about that. It's just what I do. And when there's a little struggle there, and when there's a little suffering, but a little, because there's suffering anyway, you guys, that's the thing. There's suffering anyway when you're living not the way that you want deep down, even though you're compartmentalizing it. It's there. And you know that it's there. We talked about that last week and the last 2 weeks. But when you bring a little bit of it out, it's a little bit of sandpaper. It's a little more forming. It's a little more of who you are coming out. And that does shape you, and it does bring you wisdom, and it does bring you happiness, and it does bring you strength, and it brings you hope, and it brings you optimism that you're not a victim, that you're not subject to the whims and just whimsy of the marketplace and economy, and you're just bouncing around because you've got no anchor. You're anchored. And like I said last week, you can be more simplified in the knowledge of what it takes to make you happy. You can actually realize how little you need to do that. But you can't figure those things out unless you ask the damn question in the beginning of this process, or at any time you can. All right, you guys? All right. Born identity. Weird, right? You change your life, and it's uncomfortable to be a new person, because you've got to make sure you got a foundation there, so when you get to start seeing what it's like to be that person, it's not totally weird for you or for everybody else. Because it's sort of like, oh yeah, it feels right, because you know who you are. So when you start eating healthy food, you're not like, I feel weird. You're like, oh yeah, this is because of why I value this. That's what I stand for. I knew that a year ago when I started this, I knew that I stood for this. It's just taken me a year to get to this point. But now that I'm here, it totally locks up with who I am. I get that, because I'm clear on who I am. Got it? Okay, don't make me tell you again. All right, that's the last time I'm going to tell you that. Last freaking time. You guys are doing awesome. Email me podcast@sidgarzahillman.com. I didn't say this in the beginning, but thank you for iTunes reviews. I really need those. They help the podcast a lot. You can go to sidgarzahillman.com, and there's a little donate button there somewhere, and you can click on that and donate to this podcast. It does help in a huge way. Support this. Keeps it going. Okay. You can also buy t-shirts, mugs, and a WWID bracelets. What would I do on that note, right? And custom signed books of mine that I wrote. Okay. All right, you guys. Listen, until next week, treat yourselves well, because you deserve it. Try something so that you say maybe one time this week, yeah, but I'm doing something about it. See how that feels. See if that doesn't give you a good kick in the pants, huh? All right, you guys. I'm coming back next week. You know I'm going to be here, because I am. It's what I do. Mondays, boom. All right. I will talk to you next week. This has been the Approaching the Natural podcast. I am Sid Garza-Hillman, signing off. Until next time, be well. I know much better than you. Takes to be a man. I know much better than you what it takes to be a man. As I'm standing here on the outskirts, I'm standing here on the outskirts.
no much better than you. I try to claim every town. I know much better than you. I try claiming every town. Cause I'm watching you here from the outskirts. Cause I'm watching you here from the outskirts. Just thinking of my return. Just thinking of my return. And I'm tired of being observing and roaming. I can't keep on running and running out. I'm tired of pressing down, pressing down, pressing down. Wanted what you think you want when was a much younger man. I wanted what you think you want when I was a much younger man. I long since moved to here on the outskirts. I've long since moved.